Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up? You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. Yes, you are rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, yes, yes, y'all. My voice is a little hoarse, y'all, but I'm going to give it to you on this show, y'all. Because that's what we do here, Four Quarters with Coach. We talk about women's football, and we're going to talk about a couple of things in this show here, right here, right now. I talk to you guys each and every Monday night. But tonight, in quarter number one, we're going to talk about a review of this weekend's activities, such as All-Star Weekend for the WFA. We're going to talk about the WFA Championship game, Lone Star Mustangs versus the Columbus Comets. Quarter number three, we're going to talk about off-season things that need to be done, both from players' point of view, coach's point of view, and owner's point of view. And then, as always, ending it up with either hot topics on the Ning board. Hey, that's what we do because we're rocking Four Quarters. No, you're rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. And like I said, my voice is a little hoarse due to all the activity that took place this weekend. But let's go ahead and drop our sponsors for the show. Sponsors for the show are Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. Enterprise Rent-A-Car, why pick Enterprise? Because they would pick you up. And also, Rogers Athletic Company, the football equipment company of the Women's Football Camp and Conference, and also sponsor this show. So, hey, you know what? Let's get the going. We're going to get this show in this hour and do what we do. So, you know, let's start this bad boy like we always do. And it's a deep, deep, deep kick. This is deep. Why is it deep? Because women's football is deep. And also, you know, as a coach, you want to kick it deep and make them start in their deep in their own territory. But anyway, let's go ahead and start this bad boy off. Quarter number one. Hey, quarter number one is where we at. This weekend was a great weekend to be part of women's football. We had the WFA All-Star game, the American team versus the national team.
It was a great game. I don't know if you guys heard me speak on this past Friday, but on Friday we were at the actual practice, at the end of practice, and I just gave you guys a feel of what was going on, the injuries that were taking place, and the athletes that were coming in from out of town and participating in the weekend. It was a great weekend. Both teams had over 60 all-star players make it into town and participate, and it definitely went great. Of course, it feels like it's great for me. I happen to be on the winning side of the all-star game, which was the American team. And, you know, it was a great game. The score wound up being 13-7. There were some great plays by some great ladies out there. I don't have my stats and everything because I have not watched the film, but, you know, I get some stats and stuff like that so that we can put it down in the history books of who did what. And again, create records for those games, you know, the most passes, the most interceptions, the most tackles, all that other good things. It's about creating history, and it starts with something, and it continues, you know, as that event takes place. But overall, you know, there's a bunch of standouts that I recall number-wise. I just don't have the names in front of me, and sorry about that. But scoring-wise, I know exactly what took place. You know, the national team actually scored first, and actually all the points were scored in the fourth quarter. Yeah, in the fourth quarter, that's what type of game it was. And for those that have not been a part of an all-star experience, or even when you start your own team, the defense is always ahead of the offense when there's a new group of people coming together. Like I tell, you know, my team, I can pick 11 girls and put them on defense, and they'd be ready to go. Offense, you got to gel. That's why it's so important to get a lot of practices in offensively, and that's why most practices are offensive-driven, because it takes more effort and timing to perfect a offensive play. Normally, you just can't come up there with a bunch of strangers and execute well against a defense that can run fast and tackle and all that other good stuff. So the game started off a little slow. It was mostly a defensive battle until the girls got comfortable with each other offensively. And, you know, again, we had a two-hour practice on Friday. And we went out to the field and pretty much, you know, in shoulder pads, in jerseys and cleats, you know, ladies didn't have to come out there and learn how to re-tackle and all that other stuff. We didn't need to do all those drills, and it was no sense of people getting hurt in practice. So what we did 2 hours of this scheme. Defense did, you know, basic drills, pursuit drills. The rules were the defense would be in a basic 4-3 defense, either cover one or cover three. Cover one, two, or three, it didn't matter. No blitzing, no stunning, stuff like that defensively. Offensively, was able to run whatever you can run in the amount of times you can put it in. The funny thing about that was, you know, getting all the players from different teams having different terminology. You know, in my system that I run, I use letters for positions. So you got X, Y, Z, and we got F and K and Q. Those are our letter combinations. Which stands for Q is quarterback, F is fullback, K is our tailback/wide receiver. Then you got an X receiver, Y receiver, which is a tight end, and a Z, which is a slot. That's how our format is. But a lot of people run an X, Y, Z, and then run a 10, 20, 30 back, or 20, 30, 40 back. It all depends on what the number system they run. But everybody know what, you know, pro, I'll say pro, meaning that's, you know, two receivers, one tight end. Right, meaning tight end goes right, I, both backs in the I formation, sweep or toss. So it was just a matter of condensing down the plays of what they're called in order for everybody to understand. So in the game, you know, again, it took a little time for the teams to get going. I know that on the American side of the field, you know, we had five quarterbacks, and initially we thought we only had four, and every quarterback was going to get one full quarter. But there's no way you can get five full quarters in a four-quarter game. So what we wind up doing was changing, and the quarterbacks went in every series. We had two sets of offensive linemen, So we did an A and B group every other series, A group, B group, A, B group, you know. And wide receivers, we had 6 or 7 wide receivers, and what we did was we rotated every play. They brought in the play, so 2 or 3 at a time. So we try to give as many people as possible playing time. Same thing with the defense. The D-line shuffled in an A and a B group, as well as linebackers and DB. So it was just a mixture of, you know, making sure everybody got playing time and everybody had fun. But it was a great time out there. Again, some of the rules that we went by, the typical all-star rules, if you go to the NFL, you know, running clock was one. No blitzing, no stunting on the defense. Basic cover 3 or cover 1, cover 2 out of a 4-3 look. On special teams, there's no rushing the punter or rushing the field goal kicker. Again, it's all about having fun and not being injured is the key. And, of course, you're going to have some competitors who didn't like the rules. They wanted to play a full-fledged game, you know, clock stops. And it's not about that. It's about, you know, it's an expedition game. You're going out there to have some fun, display some of your skills, and at the end, just like in if you watch the NFL, you know, if the game doesn't get serious until the last 4 minutes of the game anyway, and that's why we got 13, the score wound up being 13-7 because, you know, at the end of the game, everybody wanted to win, you know. So overall, it went great. It went great. Again, a lot of participation went on. A lot of fans were there to see it. It was great to have it as a prelude to the championship game because the all-star players got a chance to play in front of fans, in front of their particular fans, plus, you know, some of the other team, the championship team, you know, came out and watched at least the fourth quarter prior to warming up. So it was exciting. It was definitely exciting. It was a well-ran event. And, yeah, I can say that because I did it. But, you know, I'm talking about on the real. I've been to several championship games, be it women's football, be it Warner football, be it high school, be it college, be it pro. I've been to the Super Bowl. And for what it was, it was great. It was great. You know, the stands were packed. I had a great crowd. It was loud. We had entertainment there. We had music going on. The stands were decorated in the red, traditional red, white, and blue. You know, I got to give big ups to my wife. I mean, like I said, we had people working on this thing. And like I said, we wanted to represent the WFA to the fullest and putting on the best event. Of course, we feel that it's the best and only the second one. So all we did was improve on what took place last year. And hopefully wherever the championship is at next year or All-Star Game is next year, I'm hoping that we set the standard of what it needs to be done and they can take it to the next level. But let's go over the scoring real quick. In the fourth quarter, what's her name? Marion Roach from the Liberty Bells took a handoff up the middle and did a Barry Sanders move on us and wound up breaking off a 21-yard touchdown run to get the ball rolling early in the fourth quarter. And the field goal was good. The next series for the American team, we had what happened? Kerry Walters from the Las Vegas Showgirls caught a pass from Kerry Mitch of the Las Vegas Showgirls for like a 32-yard slant and took it to the house. At that point in time, you know, it was like mid-fourth quarter, and we didn't know anybody was going to score again, and we went for the win right then and there. We went for 2. The national team stopped us on the 1-inch line. Boy, that 1-inch line is just killing me going for 2. I don't know about that. But, you know, our theory was this. We didn't want to come out here and have a tie because there wasn't going to be no overtime or anything of that nature. So, you know, we were going for the win. So we went for 2, didn't get it. Then the American team defense actually got an interception on the second play of the next drive with about 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Which I was pretty surprised. I thought that they were going to run the ball because they were doing the national team was doing a great job of running the ball, you know, getting 5, 6, 7 yards a carry at some point in time. But again, mistakes, turnovers caused, you know, the other team to get the ball, which was the American team. So we wound up getting an interception by Minnesota Machine's corner. Can't recall her name, but her number was 12. So I got to look in the roster book and find out who was number 12 from the Minnesota Machine. Intercept the ball and put us in a good position. And then we just wound up running the ball down the field with our, you know, with our great running back, Boiling from the Thunder did a great job. I'm not quite sure how many carries and how many yards he had, but I'm guessing if he had at least eight carries for over 50 yards. That's just a guesstimation. I haven't seen the copy of the film. But then when it got down into the trenches, you know, competitive juices start to flow in, and the national team actually blitzed on a couple occasions, and that wasn't supposed to be in the rule. And, you know, I'm trying to calm my coaches down. Hey, you know, it's fun. You know what I'm saying? It's fun. Don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. Because I knew that if they did it again, we're going to put Sarah McVickers in from the Warriors. The Pacific Warriors came in and ran the play action boot off the same play that we had been running. We've been running sweep left, sweep right, lead right, lead left, and then off the lead we came with a play action. Well, not play action, but a fake boot action, and Sarah took it to the house from 4 yards out to make the score 12 to 7. We wind up, you know, kicking the extra point, making the score, you know, 13-7. It was some great play by the kickers. I know that Trisha Nishikawa of the Showgirls kicked one kickoff into the end zone. She also had a 65-yard punt. And the kicker from the Machine off of our team, once again, don't have her name and number, I mean number, but she was number 13. I forgot her name, but she's one of the best kickers in the league, provided the extra point for the Showgirls. And then the national team actually had another opportunity to win. Actually had two opportunities in the last 2.5 minutes of the game. They went for it on fourth down, and we stopped them. Then the next play, with about 1:40 to go, a quarterback fumbled the exchange from the center, and the national team got the ball again. Again, they ran the clock down, and we stopped them like on our 40-yard line. And then we were going to take a knee with 15 seconds to go, but again, the competitive juices of the players, you know, the coaches are yelling, all right, getting huddled, we're going to take a knee, game over. Decide to want to try to throw a bomb. The national team actually came in and just smacked the quarterback, and, you know, it just happens. And, you know, I go down there and say, that's why we take a knee with 15 seconds to go in the game. We're not trying to score again, you know. You know, my slogan for my team is we're classy, not assy. You already won the game, so just go ahead and take the knee. That's the football thing to do. So anyway, the game ended. The crowd was great. There's pictures all over Facebook. I'm putting together a picture DVD to keep it as a historical fact of, you know, putting on the first Women's Football Alliance All-Star game, national team versus American team. Again, you know, that's how it went down. You know, are there complaints out there? It's always going to be complaints. And again, I tell my team this, look, I'm married 17 years, and it's hard. It's very hard satisfying one woman, let alone all 50 on my team, let alone 150 women. You know, somebody's not going to be happy for some reason or another, be it playing time, be it they didn't touch the ball, be it that they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Hey, I just know as a coach, I was having fun with it. Majority of the time, I was doing play-by-play or sideline analysis, giving you guys, you know, the fly-on-the-wall syndrome, what was going on our sideline. Again, I only got real serious just the last two series as far as calling plays and things of that nature. But again, it's all fun, it's all groovy, and that's what the All-Star game was all about. Again, it was a great game, very competitive, not a lopsided, one-sided game, which it shouldn't be because you got the best of the best there. You know, you got the best of the best. The only ones that were missing were the 6 or 7 players from both championship teams. And again, they got recognized as being all-stars. And, you know, the most important thing for them was, you know, being a championship game. That was their drive. It wasn't about playing in the all-star game. You know, you come here and take care of business, and that's to win a championship. So, you know, that's the highlights. That's the review of the All-Star game. Again, I will post up some stats and some things of that nature and some highlight videos soon, as soon as I get the materials on the Neen board. That's the Women's Tackle Football Group.neen.com board. The latest and greatest of all women's football is on that site. So make sure you sign up. Make sure you sign up as Women's Tackle Football Group.neen.com. the number one social networking board on the planet. All right, woo! Let's go. Moving on. Quarter number two. Quarter number two. Let's talk about the championship game, the Women's Football Alliance National Championship game here in Las Vegas, Nevada. All I can say, it was beautiful weather. The weather cooperated. I guess I put in my phone call because everybody think I have control of everything. But I put my phone call in to Mother Nature and told her let it be a mild day. It was a semi-overcast day, a little humid, but the sun wasn't beat down. It got up to about 101 prior to kickoff, which was pretty refreshing with the breeze that was going on. We had the Lone Star Mustangs as a visiting team. We had the Columbus Comets as the home team. And, again, for those who are listening to the show, I had predicted the score to be close. I thought the score was going to be 28-24 with the Comets taking the victory. I just felt that they had a little bit more superior athletes, and they ran a wide-open offense. And I figured that they were going to score four touchdowns and kick the extra points to make it 28. And I figured that the Lone Star Mustangs were going to score three touchdowns and score their two-point conversions on every occasion, making it 28-24. Well, I was right in the fact that the game ended. The winner won by 4 points. My score was just a little bit higher, and also I had the wrong team winning by 4 points. You know, again, I don't look at it a favorite or a dislike or whatever. I look at it on film from a coach's perspective, what I saw, and that's what I saw. I saw that the Columbus Comets had the talent to win, and, you know, it just didn't happen, but it was a hard-fought game. Again, the Lone Star Mustangs, hats off. Columbus Comets, you know, I can review the game real quick just off of memory. Again, some names I got, some game names I don't have. Again, I was doing play-by-play for the live feed, but video feed, but we had some difficulties on that. I'll talk about that a little bit later in another segment. We try to supplement by doing the Blog Talk Radio, doing play-by-play, and I'm doing play-by-play with a mic in my phone, microphone in my hand, and also a telephone in my hand. So I had I was upstairs, outside, in the wind, and trying to hold down the rosters and stuff, just couldn't get it. So we just start talking, you know. But anyway, you know, the Comets struck first. The Comets struck first and scored on a 21-yard play action pass drag to the tight end, number 41. Don't have her name offhand, but 41 caught the first touchdown. And then the extra point was missed, making the score 6-0. On the following drive, the Lone Star Mustangs took it to the house, driving down with number 3, Yellow Shoes, Odessa Jenkins, scoring the first touchdown for the Mustangs, and then going for two. I think it was Fetterwhite wind up getting a two-point conversion, making it 8-6. Then shortly after, the Comets came back and scored and went for two and didn't get that. And so the score wind up, again, it was a play-action pass, same play that they scored on play-action pass to number 41 for the touchdown, which was a tight end. She drove across the middle. Great play, making the score 12-8. Then, again, they went for two. They didn't get it. Late in the second quarter, the Comets were driving, and they actually scored on a 12-yard run by, I want to say, Martin, number 26, and got called back for holding. But a crucial play on that play outside of the holding call was that Jones, the wide receiver for the Comets, actually got rolled up. When I say rolled up, she was blocking on a run play, and the tacklers and the running back rolled up her ankle, and she didn't even realize it. I talked to her after the game, but after that point, she was limping, and she didn't realize why she was limping. But she was a non-factor after that. Prior to that, man, on slant, she took off on somebody. On a reverse, they gave her two reverses, and she had some big plays on reverses. So, you know, she was, you know, the speed of the offense, you know, and second half was not a factor in the game due to injury, but she was still in the game. But again, on that, but with less than a minute to go, the Comets could have boosted the league up to either 18-19 or 20-8. And I think at that time, if the Comets would have scored, I think they would have put it out of reach, just due to the fact that the Lone Star Mustangs is not a quick striking, deep threat type of offense. They're a chew it up, grindy type of offense, and time just rolls real fast. But I think that was the most crucial drive of the whole game, because that could have put a 2-touchdown advantage for the Comets. Coaches went in at halftime, made adjustments, came back out. Again, they were battling, hitting each other back and forth. And then again, the Lone Star Mustangs, gave the ball to their workhorse, which was Odessa Jenkins. And Odessa Jenkins took it in into the house and made the score 14-12. Again, they went for two. I want to say Tyler White, number five, took it in for two and made the score 16-12. And that was late in the fourth quarter. Well, no, mid-fourth quarter. There's still plenty of time. The Comets got the ball and was driving. Prior to them going ahead, the Comets actually stopped them on the goal line. Matter of fact, the Mustangs were going in to win. And again, they could have kicked the field goal. Wouldn't have made no difference. The score would have been 12-11. So I understood why they didn't kick the field goal, but you had them stuck in deep in your own territory. If you didn't get it, they're on the 1-yard line. But Dustin Jenkins was stopped inches away from the end zone. Then the Comets, I think they had, three downs and out, didn't get enough room, and they punted the ball into the wind, and the ball only went to the 15-yard line. So, again, the Lone Star Mustangs had a great opportunity to score again. And they wind up scoring again on Odessa Jenkins, and then Sutter White for the 2-point conversion, making it 16-12. And actually on that, no, it wasn't Sutter White on the 2-point conversion. It was actually the tight end, number 37, who caught the ball, because what happened was, when she caught the ball in the end zone, she got tackled late. She was already in the end zone, caught the ball, took a step or two, and got hit and got a personal foul on the play because they wound up moving the ball to the 50-yard line for the kickoff. And the Comets started on their own 15-yard line. And they actually was driving and got into Mustang territory with less than a minute. But they had wasted a crucial timeout earlier in the game and had wasted one on the defense. So they had one timeout left, and quarterback was under pressure, and they were having a great drop and just lobbed the ball a little bit too much over the receiver's head, and guess who intercepted the ball? You got it. Odessa Yellow Shoes Jenkins. Yes, she did. And she wound up being the MVP of the game, if I'm not mistaken. I got off the air real quick and had to make sure we start clearing the path and getting everybody out of there. But as far as championship game, it was a great championship game. It was a battle to the end. Both teams were in it to win it. The most important thing, there was no serious injuries. Everybody came out pretty much healthy. It was a great celebration on behalf of the Mustangs. Again, hats off to the Mustangs as a competitor, as a coach who was one game away from being in the big game. Even though I picked the Comets, deep down, I really was, rooting for the American team. And again, it's an incentive for us as a team, for my team. This is 2 years in a row that we, the Showgirls, have lost to the reigning champs. So, it's something to be motivated on, to be whatever, to get that drive going. Hey, we got to get those 6 inches. We got to work harder. So, that is how the game ended as far as the ambiance was concerned. Again, it was a great night of football. Had a great view of the Strip hotels and from the stands. If you look behind us, you had Red Rock Mountain behind us. The stands were packed. People were talking about, what's going to happen. Is there going to be people there? How's the stadium? Because one side, it's just a bunch of things that, But the fact was, it was a great ambiance. Our stands hold 1,000 people. And I tell you, it was close to 1,000 people there. I haven't got my numbers yet because they're still counting ticket stubs and all that other stuff as we count up all the revenue and things that took place this weekend. But maybe next Monday I can get an official count of how many people were there. Does it really matter? No. The fact was it was a great game. It was a great environment. And, yes, the stands were packed. You know, I'm a promoter. I'd rather have smaller stands and be super packed than, you know, having, you know, a 20,000-seater and you got 5,000 people there. Even though you got 5,000 people there, there's still 15,000 seats that are empty. So sometimes bigger is not always better as far as facilities are concerned. You know, just like going to a club. Think about it. When you went to your these clubs, what was the best experience you ever had? You got to think about it. I tell you, it was a time when you went to this little big hole in the wall, and it was so packed that the fire marshals had to come in there because there was just too many people in there. You had the best time. But when you went to one of those super big clubs, and it was a lot of people there. It seats 1,000 people, and you had 700 or 500 people there. It was half empty, and that's how people, you know, felt when they come there. But I can tell you this: this weekend the stands were packed, the environment was hyped. We had the world youngest DJ, Guinness Book World Records youngest DJ there, DJ Baby Chino, 7-year-old DJ. He was cutting it up all game long. His hype man was hyping up the fans. It was great, you guys. And like I said, kudos to those who helped out. Kudos to those who came through. And, you know, my last thought about the championship weekend is, you know, you got to support women's football. You got to do some of the things. You got to get out there and make it happen. I mean, both leagues that had championships this year have put out the announcement in plenty of time for you to make arrangements to go. And that's going to get me into another quarter, I think it's quarter number four, about the complaints and stuff that I'm going to address all that stuff because, you know, you want to hear from the horse's mouth. I'm here. I'm Coach Lee. You rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. And that's how we're going to end quarter number two. Let's see. Quarter number three is off season. You know, it's an official off season now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do as a coach? Are you going to go to clinics to get better? Are you coaching high school football? Are you coaching football during the so-called women's off season? What are you doing as coaches? Players, what are you doing as players? Are you actually going out to coach youth football? Are you coaching flag football? Are you training? Are you getting stronger? Are you getting faster? Are you getting more knowledge? Are you going to football games? Are you going to college games, high school games, to pick up on where you left off and see visually how you should be doing it? Owners, what are you guys doing? Are you out there already hitting the streets trying to get, you know, sponsors? Are you trying to add people to your administrative staff? Are you out in the community? Are you promoting the team? You know, what are you doing? Off season is the season, as I call it. The season does what it does. It does itself already. You know, it's the off season that makes the regular season. If you got your funds lined up, if you got your facilities lined up, if you got your training schedule lined up, you know, as management, that's half the battle. So again, I'm a big advocate of what are you doing right now. You know, and I'm just giving it to you like I give it to you. Right now, for us, as the Showgirls are concerned, we are ending our season officially this Thursday with a team banquet. Like I said, it's a casual thing. We don't have to dress up. We ain't got to go spend a lot of money. Basically, we're going and having a potluck inside of a rec center or something like that. Acknowledge the great season that we had, going 10-2, being so close to being in the championship game and stuff like that. Acknowledge the players from the rookie of the year to the MVP of the team and stuff like that, and acknowledging their accomplishments throughout the season. And that'll be done this Thursday. Our plans are to take the remaining of August off and get back to work in September. Second week of September, we'll have our meeting, informational meeting, and things of that nature with the new recruits that we've been recruiting all year long that are interested. You know, as soon as this week is over with, we're going to start doing our printing, our postcards and stuff like that, and getting out into the community and letting folks know about the big meeting that we want to have for the season, basically. Because it's time to start recruiting and promoting. But as far as football is concerned, we're not going to do anything for the month of August. Once we get into the second week of September, we'll have our big recruiting meeting. The weekend after that, we'll start our 10-week 101 football class with those who are new. This year, I'm going to make it mandatory that all veterans be a part of it because we got to make use out of that time. It's just once a week. We also get into our weightlifting program on Tuesday nights. You know, we get that rolling because we got to get stronger. We got to improve. We got to get better. We have our major tryout between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Give people ample amount of time to get their equipment, be ready to go. Then in December, early January, we'll be focusing in on the Women's Football Camp and Conference. For those who want to get better, you got to attend, and I'll talk about that later. After that, you know, we'll start a once a week practice after the football camp and conference throughout January. February, we move to 2 days a week, you know, of football. And then in March, we're 3 days a week, all throughout the season. So football is a long season. It's all year, and it sneaks up on you real fast. And you can easily get out of shape if you're not working out. You know, it's okay to take a break, but you got to get back out there, start running, and commit yourself. And that's the hardest part for women's football, and it's the hardest part for women to understand. Football is a 365-day-a-year commitment, meaning that you need to be doing things to get better every day. Be it if you go play another sport, at least you still get staying in shape. But you just can't sit on your rear end at the season of it and then show up in March, I'm not ready to play some football. The quality of the football will not be that good if that's the attitude that you've taken. In order for teams to get better, stronger, and better, it's 365 days, you guys. And that's what I've been pushing my team. Again, I started from scratch and built a program to where we are one of the better teams across the country. It's not because we sit on our butt. It's because we work at it. We work hard at it. And those players that work hard at it get the results during the season, you know. And that's what it is. You can't complain if you're doing all the hard work. You'll get the accolades that you want as long as you're putting in the work. So, again, it's off season. What are you doing to get better? What are you doing to get better? Whatever your job title is, be it the owner, be it marketing, be it ticket salesperson, be it the head coach, offensive coordinator, D coordinator, O-line coach, running back coach, whatever you are. You know, some of you ladies want to play other positions. You know, what are you doing to learn that position? What are you doing to possibly gain weight or lose weight for that position? What are you doing to get faster to play that position? What are you doing to, you know, to be able to catch the ball if you want to be a wide receiver? You know, what are you doing as a quarterback? You know, you should be throwing the ball. You know, again, it's on you. It's on each and every one of you guys. You are the only one to blame for things not happening. If your team didn't improve, You are to blame because you didn't put forth effort. If you're not getting more fans in the stands, you are to blame because you're not going out there promoting. If you don't have sponsorships, you got to blame yourself because you're not getting out there doing it. So, again, off season is a great season to improve. It gives you time away. It's just a matter of how are you going to make use out of your time, okay? And I go into more detail about off-season training and some other stuff because I'm here every Monday, each and every Monday, through the season, not the season, whatever season. I go up against Monday Night Football, so you can always listen to me on podcast at a later time if you're watching your Monday Night Football. But again, this information that I put out here is for everybody. It's no top secret stuff. Everybody can use it. So, you know, tell a friend, pass it on, give it to him. Let him know. Coach Lee is giving it to him. Hey, he's saying what needs to be done. You ain't got to agree. You don't have to agree with me. Again, it's just my perspective. You don't have to agree with my perspective, but you know what? It's the only perspective because nobody else is doing it. You know what I'm saying? So we got to be able to share information. And again, and sharing opportunities also are on the Women's Tackle Football Group meme board. Women's Tackle Football Group meme board is the place to be, especially during the off season. And I guarantee you that it's going to slow down due to the fact that, you know, you're not playing football, or your team ain't out there doing this and doing that. So, you get what you put into it, and that's what I tell people, and that'll be one of my topics as I finish up this show. You know, you get what you put into it. If you didn't put nothing in it, you shouldn't expect anything. All right? Let me see. So that's enough for the off-season. Let me carry that over for the off-season, and I'm going to use the last quarter for my rant. Yeah, I haven't rant in a while, you know, but I would use the last quarter for ranting. Part of the offseason, again, is the Women's Football Camp and Conference. Let's talk about that real quick. You can go to womensfootballcamp.com. It has all the information on there. It has all the updates. And again, starting this week, I'll start updating. If you want to coach at the camp, you know, all you got to do is email me at womensfootballcamp@yahoo.com or lasvegasshowgirls@yahoo.com. So if you're listening and you want to participate as a position coach, please let me know. The more the merrier. My thing is we all can learn from each other. I don't know everything. I don't know the best technique for all the things. I just know what needs to be done to get done. And I'm always learning. So if you want to be a part of it and be a guest speaker, a guest coach, please email me, lasvegasshowgirls@yahoo.com or womensfootballcamp@yahoo.com. All right. Had to take a little sip of some OJ or some Sunny D. There we go. We have some Sunny D because I'm still dry and hoarse. But, you know, Women's Football Camp and Conference is the only camp in conference that is dedicated 100% behind the improvement of women's football, both on and off the field. I am making a big push to make sure you are there. It's only getting bigger and better. We are limited to the amount of participants as far as football players are concerned. Right now, there is over 130 campers that have signed up already, which is almost half of the amount of campers that we're going to take this year. The camp is going to be dedicated strictly for your position as far as what you do for your team. So if you are a football player and, like I said, you want to learn a new position or you want to, you know, get better at your position, you're going to be on the football field at least 15 hours of football time on the football field. In the past, we've had the camping conference, and we kind of try to make everybody happy by giving everybody an opportunity to go to football practice, film session, administrative conversations or conferences or sessions, as I put it. And, you know, again, you can be a player, coach, and owner and being able to attend everything. This year, we're going to put more focus in on your specialty. So if you're a football player, your whole intent is going to be all about football while you're here. If you're a coach, it's going to be about coaching strategies and learning different defenses and offenses and how to implement this and that. If you are an administrator, again, we've had great speakers from promotions to PR to sponsorships to all that other good stuff. That will be here, and we have that taken care of for you. Again, it is an opportunity for you to come and learn. Yes, there is a cost. Ain't nothing like free, okay? So it's $150 to register, plus you got to take care of your hotel and your travel arrangements. We only stay at the best of the best, at the best pricing. And right now, the Tuscany Suite will be the official stay of the Women's Football Camp and Conference this year. It's located one block away from UNLV campus. The Camp and Conference will be January 6th through the 9th, 2011. Again, on the campus of UNLV, you can't get no better facility than a Division I school facility. So we have the facilities, we have the equipment. You just need to get there by any means. Again, $150 for the you can put down. Matter of fact, you can go to the website right now and put down $25 to hold your spot. That's why the spots are taking up so fast, because people have taken advantage of signing up for just $25, and then they have to pay in full by, I want to say, October 1st for their registration. But if you want to get better, you got to get there. Like I said, I learn each and every year. I'm a participant. I sit down in the meetings. I hear about marketing. I hear about PR. I hear about, you know, concessions. How can you improve on concessions? I'm listening to other coaches speak. You know, Mark Ring from the SoCal Scorpions from 10 years in Dynasty. Now he's going to be in semi-pro. You know, he's one of the best offensive line coaches. He's already committed to come back. And, again, I think he did some things with the Minnesota Machine to help secure some improvement there. Again, we're bringing the best of the best, and it's nothing like being coached by somebody else. I don't coach my own players at the camp and conference because I want them to get a different experience from different coaches. You know, and that's what it takes. And some coaches out there are a little protective of their players, don't want other coaches coaching them. But I think that's whack. You want your players to know as much information as possible because your way is not always the best way. But as players, you got to understand, you got to get it done the way that your coach wants it done. If you got some other techniques and things of that nature, trust me, if you're getting it done, they don't mind. So again, come out and learn Women's Football Camp and Conference, January 6th through the 9th in Las Vegas, Nevada, on the campus of UNLV. The official stay will be the Tuscany Suites, which this past weekend, the folks that stayed there said it was off the hook. It's a resort, you guys. It's a resort. You know, nice, clean, big rooms, swimming pool, palm trees, restaurants, of course, gambling. And it's right down the street. I mean, like I said, half a block away from the strip. Couldn't be in a better place for that price. So those are things that we're working on, Women's Football Camp and Conference. Tell a friend, hey, let's get this thing done. You know, power in numbers, power in numbers, power in numbers. You will learn a lot. You know, so again, I'm not asking for everybody out there that play women's football to be there, but I think every team should represent. You should at least have two players from each team that's out there at this camp and conference. And then taking the information that you learned, taking it back to the majority of the women that didn't come. It's called networking, you guys. Nobody's asking for the whole team to come. But, you know, it should be at least minimum two players, an offensive and defensive player. There should be one staff member for an administrative and one coach. That's four people from each team. I don't know what you guys got to do, but if you have to fundraise for those four people, you know, as a team, to get those four people to get there, to get the information, bring back to the team, I think it's well worth it. So there's creative ways that you guys can be represented team-wise and still get the information. We gave away DVDs. We gave away audio. We gave away handouts. I mean, again, it's all about information. That's what the Women's Football Camp and Conference is all about. You need to be there. If you're not there, then you're square. And if you're square, you can't fit it in the hole. So anyway, that's the end of quarter number three. Again, now I'm talking about the Women's Football Camp and Conference, and you're going to hear me talk about that, I would say, majority of the time leading up to the Camp and Conference. You'll get announcements as they come. You'll get updates on who's committed to being there for the 2009 segment. So, again, coaches, if you want to volunteer, I am looking at a minimum of two coaches per position. Again, two coaches per position. Each position is maxed out. I think the max out for quarterbacks is 20, max out for kickers is 20, and the max out for everything else is 40 players. So it's limited in the amount of positions that that you're going to have available. And like I said, already over 125 participants have signed up. So you do the math, 20, 20, and then everybody else is 40, and find out what, you know, if you're going to find your spot or not. We have plans to do one on the East Coast, but again, it's all about, you know, supply and demand. If the demand is not there, then we will not supply it, even though there's a few people talking about wanting to have an East Coast camp. But again, you got to email us. You got to let us know. You know, we got places to go to, but again, it's all about weather. It's about timing. It's got to be in warm weather states due to the fact that it's less costly to use outside facilities than it is to use indoor facilities. So again, that's where the cost goes, to cover the facilities, you guys. You know, I've lost money doing this just because I love the game of football. It's not a money maker. You know, everybody always wants to say, well, Dion's making all the money. I ain't making crap. I've lost an average of $10,000 to $15,000 per camping conference. So it's not making money. It will pay for itself if we got the numbers. That's all we made it out. If we get the maximum numbers, it pays for itself. And that's what we want you to know. Hey, nothing in life is free. We got to pay for what we get. You get what you pay for. All right. So let me end that right there. Quarter number three is over with. And that actually leads me up to my rants. You know, for those who don't know what rants are, I guess those are your response to complaints. And, you know, I'll tell you like it is. I got nothing to hide. You know, I got a couple emails actually this morning stating that the All-Star game was set up for the American team to win. I just have to laugh. Because for those who listen to the game, I'm on the phone pretty much just going play by play, making it a fun thing. You know, again, with competitors out there, everything ain't fair. You know, the most important thing for this weekend was making sure the championship game started on time. That's 7 o'clock. All-Star game started at 4 o'clock. You know, we ran All-Star rule. Again, I talked about this earlier. You know, it was already set that it was going to be running clock. We knew we had 69 players to get in the game, that everybody wasn't going to be able to play a full game. Most of those players normally don't even come out the game. They're on their own team. So nothing was set up. You know, I got to laugh. Nothing was set up for either team to win. The winner won, and that's just how it went. You know, both teams scored in the fourth quarter. What more can you say? It was a defensive battle. So to address the issue of it being set up, I got to say false. There's no benefit for me to win an American All-Star game. I'm not getting $1 million check or anything for my team winning. So again, let's take that rumor out of there. The other thing, you know, my rant is when people are doing a special event, and I think I talked about this on Friday, and they post things up, they're posting things up based on, hey, we're going to get X amount of people there, and these are the things that we're going to do once those X amount of people get here. But if you can't put it in your heart to register and go to the hotel of the hosting hotel, you can't expect all the things to happen. And I'm going to give you my scenario, okay? My scenario is this. Here in Vegas, we have two ways you can do hotels. One way is to go ahead and put the money down for the amount of rooms that you would need to conduct your whatchacallit. You got to put the money down, point blank. Or you can get it at a different rate, at a good rate as well, but you got to turn in the rooming list, you know, 3 weeks prior. So, give you an example. If I went to the hotel and told them, oh, yeah, we're going to do 200 rooms. And they're like, wow, 200 rooms? Great. But these are all the things that we're going to give you for 200 rooms. We're going to give you free access to this dining room. We're going to give you this meeting room. We're going to give you this bar and this room and that room. So now you said, okay, you got the pool for a pool party, you know, welcoming party, all these other good things. And then, you know, 3 weeks prior to the event, you got to turn in your numbers, and you're not coming even close to your numbers. So now you're looking bad because you didn't tell the hotel that you're going to get XYZ numbers, and you didn't. So what is the hotel going to do? The hotel's going to say, well, you didn't make your numbers, but we're going to give you all the... No, this is corporate Vegas. This ain't mob Vegas. Mob Vegas just wants you to get in. Food used to be $1. Rooms used to be majority free because they want you to spend your money gambling. When you got corporate America, every dime counts. Every penny counts. So, yeah, some things were pulled back. Some parties didn't happen. And all we can do is blame ourselves. You can't blame the promoter. You can't blame the organizer. The organizer can only accommodate how many people they have, you know, on the guest list. So if your guest list was, you plan on having, you know, 400 to 500 people staying in the hotel, and you turn to get 200 rooms, and you turn in a list of 75 rooms, you came up 125 rooms short.
You know? So again, as a promoter, and this goes for anybody who's putting on a major event, you're gonna run through the same thing. Okay? You're gonna run through the same thing. You only can address by how many people you have committed to, especially in this day and age. It doesn't make any sense. If it was 20 years ago, you had to postmark your stuff in, you know, mail it in. Now we got email, we got text messaging, you got, you know, Facebook, you got all these things where you can confirm if you're coming or not. And it doesn't make any sense to be a last-minute person in this day and age, okay? So, again, some things didn't happen due to the fact that the numbers weren't there that we promised, and some of the things that were promised to the fans didn't happen because we didn't have the numbers to make it happen. And, again, I lost many dollars in this women's football game, and I'm just not going to go there anymore. I'm not losing any more money over it. You know what? I just accept the fact that it just ain't going to happen before I lose another dime out of my pocket behind women's football. I've already spent over $380,000 of my personal money in women's football, you know, be it with my team, be it with the camp and conference, be it trying to get on TV and doing things that we had to do to put women's football on the map. You know, I'm just going to turn around and say, hey, you get what you pay for. If you didn't pay to be there, then you got what you paid for. Nothing. Okay? But again, there were some complaints. You know, again, I would say this. 98% of the people that attended this particular weekend gave me nothing but high fives, kudos, and handshakes. Great job, great job, great job. But it's that negative 2% that stands out. It's like the squeaky wheel gets the attention. You know, those are the things that stick out in the back of people's head are the negative things. And those things just got to stop, you know. But the bottom line is this. Stop complaining. Be about something and do something about it. You know, people complaining about spending $10 to watch a game over the internet. I start laughing. You know, you get what you pay for. So what if it wasn't a quality? That's hey, nobody here is a specialist. Nobody here is a computer geek and genius. You know, things get trialed and error, and, you know, there's a bunch of comments on the meme board. But you know what? It's hard times. So what? You know, my excuse, I don't have no excuse. Either it worked or it didn't work. You either live with it or you don't live with it. But stop complaining. Do something about it. You know, be a part of it, about it. Be a part of it. Stop trying to trash everything that goes on. Stop trying to critique everything. I haven't seen a solution yet from the people that complain. Like I said, it's just the 2% of you guys. But that's it. You know what? I'm going to get out of here. I'm just getting mad. Now, I might drink this whole gallon of orange juice. But you know what? I'm rolling. It's happening. You rock for Coach Lee. I'll be back. You know, I got more things to say. But, you know, I just want to keep this show to an hour. It was a great job. I want to thank everybody who came out, support women's football. And like I said, let's get it on. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Peace.
Question what I am, God knows. Help coaches coming from the heart. What I got, better. they're falling off. Noon is fair, square,